how to avoid a mistake when selecting a managed service provider. That's today's episode of MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Welcome to another episode of MSP Zone, where we tackle issues and questions that are floating around everybody's minds when it comes to managed services. That may be an overstatement, but they're frequently on people's minds. Let's put it that way. And I've got a curious article. These pop up every once in a while. And it's not attributed to anybody, meaning there's no individual who wrote this. But it's an article, nevertheless, that was published online, and it's titled Five Mistakes to Avoid When Using Managed IT Services. So naturally, it caught my attention because I thought, wow, this is someone rendering some advice. And I read it, and I started making some notes and thinking to myself, well, there's some good points here. There's some actually really good points. And then there's some points that didn't really make sense. Some, shall we say, overly broad or generalistic ideas about MSPs and about using managed services. So I thought, this would be a really good topic to talk about because, after all, it's always a good idea for we in the MSP community to be aware of how people view us. And you know, we're getting a lot more of that type of perspective, in case you haven't realized. I mean, we're getting a ton of outside the MSP community opinion. And this article is a good example of that, and I'll share a link with it in the show notes so you guys can read it for yourself. But well, I thought we'd just dive right in. And there's five, as the title suggests, there are five areas that this person, whoever it is, said that you should avoid when using a managed service provider. And I'll tell you, the first one kind of shocked me because I thought, this is something that an MSP would write. And who knows? I mean, maybe this is an MSP secretly writing this. Who knows? It doesn't really say. It doesn't say at all. But it's kind of screamed, I'm an MSP, because this is something that a lot of MSPs have a pet peeve about. They are really instinctively against this, and that is don't go cheap. Don't seek out MSPs based off of who is the lowest bidder. And that is a very old issue with MSPs. I mean, it goes back a long time. Don't seek out MSPs based off of who is the lowest price, because you will almost always get the worst type. Not always, but in many cases, that's true. And especially when you are dealing with MSPs who are competing on price, I don't want to say this without offending people. A lot of MSPs, the professional MSPs, more likely than not, will refuse to participate in a downward bidding spiral in order to secure a deal, especially when they know that the customer is making price a key issue or one of several key issues. Most of the MSPs I talk to will say they will back out of those types of bidding opportunities. And they will tell them typically, look, you're not looking for us. You don't want us. You want something else. And by the way, that's true of any profession. Any professional would say the same thing. I mean, if you had five heart surgeons, you know, in front of you and said, "Hey, I'm I need heart surgery, but I need to find which of you is going to be the cheapest. It would be shocking to me if one, if not all five of those people just backed away and said, no, you're not looking for us. You're looking for something else. It's just a strange thing to ask for and to expect your professional managed service provider to be bidding for your business based off of price. And I suppose it gets to the larger issue of what it is that you think you are buying as a customer. And if this was an actual end user customer, or maybe it was a consultant, or maybe I don't know who it is, but the point, the vantage point of the writer is, as a customer, when you start to make price an issue, you are by definition going to start to weed out the MSPs, and you're going to get what's left, which is the break fix people. And they don't say it in this, but I'm adding this as opinion because I understand this marketplace, and I've been around long enough to understand that this is what happens. The axiom of not bidding downward and not going to market as a managed service provider based on price is made and exists because of the mismatch when you make that a central feature of the relationship. When you start off the relationship with, I as a customer value you as an MSP based only on how low you are, I now have a completely diminished view of you as an MSP. And especially if you accepted and were the lowest bid, and we are now in a managed services relationship, then I have a particularly low opinion of you. And that's not a good position to be in, either as an MSP or as a customer. Because at some point, the MSP is going to resent it, and they're going to start to say, well, I'm worth more. That's assuming they're a real MSP. And at some point, the customer is going to be treated less optimally than perhaps another customer who's paying full price. Now, you may not think that that happens, but it does happen. And I've talked to enough MSPs over the years to know that MSPs love getting rid of customers who are problems. So I'm not saying that this is a one-sided issue. This is a both MSP and customer need to be aware of this, but I just thought that this is a fantastic entry point to an article talking about what things you ought to avoid when dealing with an MSP or when selecting an MSP. Price is absolutely really high up there. Maybe not the highest, but certainly among the top issues or top areas of concern. So absolutely a great idea, a great mistake to avoid. Don't do it. Don't do it at all. Number two, don't believe the sales hype. And I'm quoting from the article. Every single company will tell you that that their services are second to none, and some will promise the earth and a lot more. Ask for a few client references and also check to see whether they have independent review system. Oh, an independent review system, which is the best indication of what to expect. Wow, now I'm really curious of who wrote this. Every established managed IT services provider would be able to furnish you with customer reviews. I don't necessarily agree with that. Customer reviews, customer references, maybe more likely. I mean, look, we don't look for MSPs on Yelp, right? We don't look for them online and look for a rating system of MSPs because it doesn't work. Believe me, there are so many organizations that have rating systems and ranking systems and rank from 1 to 100 or 1 to 500 or 1 to 1,000 MSPs, and they all have different MSPs at the top position, and they all have different MSPs, and they have different categorization models and ranking systems, and quite frankly, I think they're all crap. I think they're less than useful. But the point is that if you want to have a customer reference, that is legitimate. As an MSP, you probably already have a handful. It's probably not going to be like dozens, but you probably have a handful of referenceable accounts. Let's face it. This is not the same thing as going into a restaurant and ordering a meal and then writing a review and saying, hey, I'm going to put my persona out there and say what I thought about the meal. Customers of managed service providers naturally and necessarily want to be secure and private, and they don't want to have their names out there. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, and there are ways that MSPs, you know, make those referenceable accounts available to prospects. But what this author talks about before is, in general, it's not just about references. It's about proving what you can do. And this whoever this is, author, is saying, don't believe what the salespeople tell you. Trust but verify. Trust but validate. And, you know, not to toot our own horn, but that's exactly what MSP Verify is about. Now, they don't mention it in the article, but, I mean, that's exactly what they're talking about, an independent review system. Now, customer reviews and references are not an independent review system. Customers are not independent. They have a dog in that hunt, to use the old parlance. They have a vested interest in that relationship. What this author is talking about is a truly independent review verification system to give to the customer or the prospect to validate what the sales and marketing teams have been saying. And that is a fantastic idea. In fact, it's so fantastic, it's what we came up with almost 20 years ago. It's what we've been about for all this time. So it doesn't mean you get rid of your salespeople. That's not what they're saying. That's not what I'm saying. But you have salespeople who say things only that can be validated. And I don't think we've made as big of a issue of that point as we should, which is that the role of a managed service provider sales person or team isn't to make the most outlandish, wild statements that they can in order to get the sale. Their job is to make statements that will ultimately bear true upon independent review and verification. Because how powerful is that? How powerful is an MSP salesperson who, when they speak, can hand over an independent document, like the MSP Verify, for example, and say, look, don't just take my word for it. Read it for yourself. We've been independently verified, independently reviewed and audited and certified. That's what this author is talking about. And it's a fantastic point. It's a really good point. Because if you as a customer find yourself dealing with a bunch of MSPs who are, shall we say, too comfortable in being the lowest bidder, then you especially might be dealing with someone who, an entity that is not an MSP. They might be something else. They might be a fledgling MSP. They might be only 20% managed services. They might be 80% something completely else. And the only way that you're going to find out whatever percentage of managed services they happen to be, the only way you find out what that percentage is and whether it's what you're looking for is having that independent review system. Part of that, yes, is customer reviews, customer references, but it's a very small part. And it's a good point, and I think it was absolutely ideal to be in this list of five. Moving on. Don't ask for an initial assessment. Rather, if you don't ask for an initial assessment, you have made a mistake. So what they're saying is do ask for an initial assessment. And further, what they're saying is any MSP ought to carry out an initial IT assessment. Now they say, which should be free and without obligation. Now, here we start to get into a situation where there's a bit more variance. Now, depending on who you talk to, you know, certain MSPs have very different approaches, right? I mean, first of all, let's recognize there's a lot of different MSPs out there. They do a lot of different things. Not all of them need an assessment. There are some MSPs who the work that they do don't require an IT assessment. Now, if we're talking about, as I suspect, this article is aimed at the small and medium-sized business user, I think you do need an assessment. Now, that could be if you are an existing business or entity and you have existing IT assets, then the MSP naturally is going to want to know, what do you have? Because most MSPs I know aren't just going to take whatever hardware and gear that the customer currently has, because it may be old, it may be outdated, it may need to be patched, it may have really old operating system information on it, it may have a whole host of problems. And MSPs always want to know what they're getting into before they engage with a customer. Whether it is free and without obligation, that is completely up to the MSP. And I will tell you, I have seen MSPs who do that first assessment as a free, no condition type of thing. They'll just come in, do it, give the report to the customer and say, let us know if you want to proceed. But I also know MSPs who will say, no, I will happily do an assessment for you, but you will pay for it, because there is value in me doing a service. And guess what? You know, if you want another analogy to that, look at the automotive industry. There are shops that will do a free vehicle assessment of your car, and there are shops that will say, I will do an assessment, but it's going to cost you this because it's worth my time and my resources and expertise to give you an opinion. And I can see both sides of it. So I have a little bit of an issue with this. I think that a customer looking for an MSP ought to expect an assessment. I think where I differ from this author is saying whether or not that assessment is going to have a cost to it and whether or not it will have an obligation to it. Now, I know also a lot of MSPs who will say, I will happily do an assessment for you, but it's going to cost you. And if you really don't like the cost of the assessment, then there are ways that we can reduce it, such as, you know, we can sign you up to a managed services agreement. And then before we start doing that, we will give you an assessment that will come at no charge because you've already obligated to purchase our managed services from us. And there are other ways that MSPs and customers can negotiate that. I think in general, this is a fairly straightforward point. Again, my only issue is if you're a customer out there, if you're an MSP, I just don't think that there's any consensus on whether or not IT assessments before managed services engagement occurs are currently free and without obligation across the board, because I don't think that that's a true statement. I think there's a great variance of some MSPs do it some one way and others do it another way, and there's no right or wrong. It's just preference. It's about the custom maybe in that geographic area. There's a lot of things at play. Moving on, the last two are really focused on hardware, and it's interesting that they've brought hardware into the top five mistakes to avoid when selecting an MSP. Why is that interesting? I'll share it with that in a moment. But the number four is make sure that your MSP is including hardware support. And now, obviously, there are, I know a lot of MSPs that don't even need to have hardware support as part of their managed services agreement. Why do I know this? Because there are MSPs who have customers and they have business models and they have service delivery strategies that include managing and monitoring IT assets that are either in the cloud or the customer themselves own the IT hardware. And it's meaning it's not the responsibility of the MSP. Now, I also know scenarios where the MSP is charged with maintaining the hardware. Typically, for the SMB organization, it's not going to be a server these days. It's not going to be a NAS device. It's not going to be, you know, a communication server or anything really sophisticated, because most of that stuff, again, for the SMB market, is going to be cloud-based. It's going to be co-location-based. It's not going to be located at the customer site, and it's not going to be located at the MSP site. So again, I think it's an interesting and a potentially valid point to make sure that IT hardware support is included in your relationship with the MSP. But again, it's important to note that not all MSPs do that. Some MSPs will say, you know what, we don't specialize in IT hardware support. You want us for cybersecurity? You want us for managing another aspect of your IT stack? There are MSPs that do that and just don't specialize in IT hardware. Desktops, printers, network devices. Now, there are a lot that do, so don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying that this is again a generalization here that shouldn't be made about all MSPs. And you should never look at an MSP who doesn't do hardware support and say, well, there's something wrong with you, because that's not true. Definitively not true. However, if you are a customer and you have hardware, desktops, laptops, mobile devices, printers, those types, maybe you have servers, maybe you have a web server, maybe you've got a database, who knows, and who knows where it is. And those things, and let's say you own the hardware, wherever that hardware may be located, then yeah, you're going to want to go to your MSP and tell them exactly what you have and tell them exactly what you need. And especially if you are an SMB organization and you don't have internal IT, then you're probably going to want to have an MSP who is capable of handling hardware support. And in those situations, the MSP almost certainly is going to beat you to the punch and say, we will happily manage your hardware, but we are not going to manage any hardware device that doesn't already have a manufacturer support warranty. It's got to be covered by warranty. In fact, going even further, I know some MSPs who will specifically preclude management of any hardware that isn't covered by manufacturer warranty in their contract. They will state it there. They will say, we will not be responsible for any device. So if the customer says, you know what, I don't really want to pay for your IT assessment, I want you to manage all my hardware, and they sneak in a whole bunch of really ancient, retro, you know, server infrastructure gear that's no longer covered by any manufacturer, distributor, anything. It's just dead. And they expect the MSP to pick up that warranty or become an insurer of that product. You know, I'm not saying that has ever happened. I'm sure it has, but I know it has. I know it has. I've heard plenty of MSPs talk about customers trying to sneak stuff in, and whether they know they're doing it or it's done accidentally, I think at this point most legitimate MSPs are aware of that. tactic, and they are just, they don't cover non-covered, non-warrantied gear. They just don't. They will happily sell you new ones. They will tell you, hey, you've got some old laptops that need to be replaced. We can't manage these for you. Replace these. And they'll say that. So a good element to include in here, especially if you have hardware that is part of what you want the MSP to manage, but know that this is probably already something that your MSP is covering. If they're not discussing this issue with you, why are they not? My question would be, are they really an MSP if they don't understand this? But anyway, moving on, the last and final mistake to avoid is about buying IT hardware without consulting an expert or without having a consulting engagement around that. And again, here we get into personal preference. I have seen MSPs who have been completely hands-off when it comes to IT hardware. What do I mean by that? I mean that they don't sell hardware, period. At all. Full stop, end of story. They don't do it. They will advise you on what you should get. They will tell you this is the best place to go and get it. This is the exact specifications, the details. These are the things that I need you to go buy. And they'll give the customer a list, a shopping list. I need you to buy this server. I need you to buy this storage device. I need you to buy this co-location agreement with this provider. I need you to buy these many laptops, these many desktops, these many firewalls, these many UTM devices, these many routers. They'll give them a shopping list. But the MSP won't touch it. They won't sell it. They'll tell the customer, go get it. Have it all shipped to me. We will handle the setup. We will do everything for you. You don't even have to worry about plugging it in or turning it on or flicking a switch. We'll do all that. But the MSP won't handle the procurement. Why? Well, that's personal preference. Some MSPs love to get involved in the hardware sale. Some MSPs, I wouldn't say love getting involved in the hardware sale, but they will reluctantly get involved in selling the customer or prospect hardware, doing so with minimal to no margin. It's more of a hassle, but at least the MSP, as they argue it, maintains the relationship and they don't have anybody else trying to interfere. And that's a very common, commonly voiced complaint amongst MSPs, is that they are only involved in selling hardware to a customer because they just don't want outside interference. And that interference could come from a distributor, it could come from the vendor themselves, I don't want to name names. It could come from any variety of sources. It could come from another VAR down the street who says, hey, I hear you need some hardware. You know, we've been thinking about getting into managed services. You know, why don't you use us? And there's the conflict, right? So you can see why this, again, will depend on the type of MSP you're dealing with. And if you, some MSPs do it, some MSPs don't. You can draw your own conclusions as to whether you trust an MSP, let's say, who says, I think you ought to go get this hardware with these specifications. And they don't sell it to you, but they tell you where to go buy it. Versus an MSP who says, we only sell and rep this brand. We can sell you this. And some people like both. There are customers for both sides of that, especially if you happen to like the brand that the MSP is repping. But I think there are some customers who like freedom, who like they come in with a brand preference, and maybe that brand preference isn't what the MSP is capable of. You know, it's just not cut and dried. So again, as with number four, I would say sometimes the MSP has a preference on what they want you to buy. Sometimes they have a very clear-cut idea of how the process should go. Sometimes they will help you, help sell it to you. Sometimes they won't. But regardless of who you find yourself talking to, just know that that variance is completely normal. So I wouldn't rule out and say, oh, I can't talk to this MSP because they will or they will not sell me hardware. I do agree that at some point, someone has, whoever is responsible for the hardware, it needs to have, as point number four said, it needs to have a warranty support part of it included, right? It just doesn't make sense to have, especially mission-critical hardware that isn't covered or out of warranty. But when it comes to consulting, getting consulting on the type of hardware that you need, you know, most MSPs will do that. They'll include that as part of their service. They'll include that as part of their assessment that we talked about earlier. They'll tell you what they think that, you know, you need. They'll tell you what they can do, what they can't do in terms of sales. They'll tell you what they think is a good buy and not a good buy. I mean, I've heard many MSPs say, look, I can't compete on price with some of the distributors and vendors. And they'll tell you up front, look, if you can find it cheaper, go buy it cheaper. And they're being at least upfront with the customer about what they will do and what they won't do. And I think that that is a very useful disclosure to make, right? I think when the MSPs try to hide the margin that they're making, you know, again, it's not really something that most MSPs do today. It's something that used to happen long ago, or more than a decade ago, I should say. But today, most MSPs really, they couldn't care less about the hardware sale. It's not strategic to them. If it makes you, the customer, happy, then they'll give you, you know, they'll do what they can to help out. But for the MSP, the real MSP, it's about getting you, the customer, set up safe and secure as quickly as possible. And however they get there, that's their goal. 9 times out of 10, that's the MSP that I know, and that's how they're going to operate. So all in all, it's an interesting article. It's a really short article, and I don't know how many people read this. I just got it as a Google alert, but it's interesting because I'm just seeing more and more of these things floating around out there, and I just think that it's a good thing to be aware of this. It's a good thing to be aware of what people are saying about MSPs. I think for the most part, there's some really legitimate points here. And there's some things that, you know, differ depending on the MSP that you find. But you should be aware of it. So I'll include it in the show notes. Take a look. You have a different opinion? Shoot me a note. Tell me what you think. Love to hear it. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.